From NPR News in Washington, I'm Carl Castle. Former Bosnian Serb leader Radovan Karadzic was not in court today for the opening of his war crimes trial in The Hague. He says he has not been given enough time to prepare his defense. NPR's Silvia Poggioli has a report from The Hague.
This is the most important Yugoslav war crimes proceeding since the aborted trial of former Serbian President Slobodan Milosevic. Milosevic died of a heart attack in 2006 while in custody 4 years into his trial. The judges are keen not to repeat the mistakes made during that trial. The indictment has been streamlined and the witness list will be much shorter. But the prosecution is determined to illustrate the scope of the atrocities committed during the 1992-1995 Bosnian War. Karadzic faces 11 counts of war crimes. That includes the charge of genocide for the 44-month-long siege of Sarajevo that claimed 10,000 lives and for the massacre of some 8,000 Muslim men and boys in Srebrenica. Silvia Poggioli, NPR News, The Hague.
Two car bombings in Iraq have killed at least 132 people and wounded another 520 people. NPR's Dishant Dahiya has a report from Baghdad.
The targets were government buildings in the heart of Baghdad. One bomb hit the Justice Ministry, the other the City Council building. The blast tore through the two buildings, destroying cars and water mains. Iraq's leaders blamed al-Qaeda and neighboring countries for the violence. The attacks also dealt a blow to Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki, who has made improved security the focus of his electoral campaign. Elections in Iraq are scheduled for January, but Parliament missed a deadline over a week ago to pass a law that would allow the elections to go ahead. Top Iraqi political leaders met yesterday trying to break the gridlock. It's unclear, though, if the issues dividing the various factions have been resolved. Continued stalemate in Parliament and failure to hold the elections on time could throw the country into further chaos and also hamper plans to withdraw significant numbers of U.S. troops next year. Nishant Dahiya, NPR News, Baghdad.
The U.S. military is reporting that 14 Americans have been killed in a series of helicopter crashes in Afghanistan. In a statement, the military says 7 U.S. military personnel and 3 U.S. civilians working for the government were killed when their helicopter went down early today in western Afghanistan. 12 Americans and 14 Afghans were injured. In another incident today, 4 American military personnel died when 2 U.S. helicopters collided in southern Afghanistan. 2 others were injured. Japanese share prices were higher today as the market shrugged off a fall on Wall Street on Friday. The Nikkei average rose by 79 points, or 0.8%. It was the Nikkei's highest close in 4 weeks. Oil prices fell to near $80 a barrel in Asian trading. Benchmark crude for December delivery fell by 49 cents to $80.01 a barrel in electronic trading on the New York Mercantile Exchange. This is NPR News. A new study from Harvard University finds more evidence of vitamin D deficiency, this time among children between the ages of 1 and 11. NPR's Patty Naiman reports on the study in the journal Pediatrics.
Vitamin D builds strong bones by helping the body absorb calcium. Research suggests it may also boost the immune system and protect against infection and heart disease. At the same time, researchers are increasingly finding many Americans, especially African Americans, may be deficient in the vitamin. This most recent study finds 3/4 of all children don't get enough vitamin D. The vitamin comes mostly from exposure to the sun and a little bit from diet, but since so few foods contain vitamin D and since people are limiting their exposure to the sun due to concerns about skin cancer, researchers conclude it may be a good idea for children to take vitamin D supplements. Research is needed to figure out exactly how much supplemental vitamin D is required. Patty Naiman, NPR News.
Senate Democrats will continue their effort this week to extend unemployment benefits. Democrats are pushing a bill that would extend expiring benefits for another 14 weeks in all states. It would also extend benefits an extra 6 weeks in states where unemployment is above 8.5%. Republicans are unhappy with how Democrats plan to pay for the extended benefits. They refuse to let the extension move ahead through unanimous consent. Democrats have indicated they are now open to Republican amendments. One to be offered would extend the tax credit for first-time home buyers, which is due to expire next month. I'm Carl Castle, NPR News in Washington.